Our text for the morning is found in Isaiah 55. We'll be reading verses 8 and 9. I always like to read out of Isaiah. I think there's a good possibility it was Jesus' favorite book. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I know the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word. Pastor.
Morning, church. Morning. I think maybe there's some people already starting to travel for the holidays. So I wanted to give a quick update. So the reason that I'm going to be gone, my mother was supposed to have surgery two Sundays ago, which got rescheduled to this last Monday. Long story, won't bore you with the details, but so she had successful surgery. She went home Thursday. She's actually less uncomfortable than she thought she was going to be, but she's far from completely comfortable. Considering what she went through, you can understand. So I'm going to be a caregiver from Sunday evening when I arrive there through Friday. I'm going to leave Friday morning, so I'll be back here Friday evening sometime. So that's good news. My dad had a biopsy on Thursday of the lesion on his spine, and so we don't have pathology reports for either of them. So don't know exactly the details there. But both in good spirits, both just keeping the attitude good. And when we put it in God's hands, the one thing that we need to make sure that we don't do is take it back out. And so far, they've actually done that. So that's the good news. So I'm going to put back on my medical caregiver hat starting tomorrow. So, anyway, so God is good, isn't he? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for bringing us here. Thank you, Lord, for this time of year where we just give thanks and praise to Jesus who willingly came here for us. And Lord, I just pray that we would come away desiring more of a knowledge of you. And not just a knowledge that says that we have a whole bunch of data in our head, but a life-changing knowledge, an empowering knowledge. And so, Lord, I just pray the Holy Spirit would come into our hearts and minds. I also pray, Father, that the messenger would be taken out of this message and you would ring clear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. David, I really hope that the direction I chose to go with this particular chapter, hopefully it's good for you, because I know you said can't wait till chapter 10, and so I hope it's good. So here's the direction I went, David, and then we'll go there, and that is that. Would you agree that the story of the life of Gideon was one that he had an awful lot of doubt? But as his knowledge of God grew, Gideon became what it is that the angel that greeted him, and that was a mighty man of valor. And so I hope that before we leave today, that we would look at ourselves as people who can be used for mighty works for God with that transforming knowledge of him. So his story, it starts with an awful lot of questions in his mind. And unfortunately, some of those questions maybe weren't necessarily rooted and grounded in complete faith. Would you agree with that? Gideon struggled with that. But when we gain a knowledge and a relationship with Jesus, we begin to go through changes. And we accomplish things differently because we accomplish things in and through him. And then when we struggle amidst our circumstances, and we all do, amen? We all do. And then the rest of you that didn't say amen, you still do, so it's okay. But amidst even our trials, we can actually still be growing in the Lord. And you know what? We can also see something, and that is that through all of this, God's vision of us doesn't change, even though our vision and opinion of ourselves can change. How many of you have at times doubted yourself? Most everybody? No, I see somebody back there going, no, never. Good for you. Maybe you could start teaching us classes at some point in time about how to be confident in ourselves. But you know what? In the end, here's what a knowledge of God does. We start to see Him in everything, and then we start to see ourselves as He sees us, and we start to see other people as He sees them. So Gideon, we're going to pick up the story in Judges chapter 6 of Gideon. And he's greeted in a way by an angel that causes him to kind of instantly have questions. And it's Judges 6 verse 12. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" And we look back and we say, yeah, Gideon was definitely a mighty man of valor. But not at this point. Because the context is, where was Gideon when the angel showed up and greeted him as, "You mighty man of valor"? Where was he? He was hiding, and he was threshing wheat inside of a wine press, hiding from the Midianites. You mighty man of valor. And here's Gideon going, I can imagine him going, are you talking to me? Because he was not being a mighty man of valor at that point in time. He was hiding and trying to just get a little bit of wheat threshed and not have the Midianites come in and take him or the wheat. But I want to make sure that we touch on this, because 1 Samuel 16 verse 7, it's just the last part of the verse, it establishes something about the way God sees versus the way we see. And it says this, "For the Lord does not see as man sees." Is that good news? Well, especially without these glasses, I'd be completely blind. "For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So God, He doesn't see the way we see. And that is really, really, really good news. In fact, Jesus, we're told that when He came to this earth, there was nothing about Him, appearance-wise, that would have attracted anybody to Him. But the purity of that character drew people to Him. So it had nothing to do with His charisma, it had nothing to do with His appearance, it had everything to do with a pure character. But let's keep going with Judges chapter 6. Gideon had some questions, and he continued to. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" Is that a legitimate question? It's a legitimate question for all of us. I don't believe that God says, no questions for you. I don't believe that. Because I believe God wants to answer all of our questions as straightforward as possible, so that when it's all said and done, we understand that He did the absolute best for us and our eternal situation in the situation, that whatever situation we happen to be in. We'll keep going. "And where are all His miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." So was it God who said, "Hey, Midianites, I'm giving you Israel and my people"? Was Gideon correct in that? Did God simply say, here's my people, have at them? Gideon was putting something onto God that was not something that God was guilty of. And I find comfort in that. Do we perfectly understand the will and the ways of God? We don't. But what we can do is seek His will and His ways through the Word. And as much as our brains can possibly handle, God wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants to give us that knowledge of Him. Verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" And he was still questioning, wait a minute, we haven't even gotten past the greeting yet in my mind, because I don't consider myself a mighty man of valor. But the Lord has a message for us too, and he says the very same thing that we just read. Have I not sent you? And so most of you know, those of you that don't, I will tell you, I am less than 2 years into being a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. Before that, I did physical therapy. And I have to tell you, there's been times where I've said, Lord, sometimes I feel kind of inadequate for this. And as this sermon was being prepared, I have to tell you, I came to that question right there and said, okay, Lord, because he says, have I not sent you? Do you feel inadequate? He says, I've sent you. Do I feel inadequate? At times, absolutely. And he says, have I not sent you? Verse 15. So he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." Do you think at this point in time, and I have to tell you, that as human beings, we are very, very good at making excuses. We could write volumes of books on just simply the excuses that we have given. Because we just simply can't. But we've already established that the Lord says, have I not sent you? Yeah, but. And I have to tell you, if I was in the position of the Lord at this point in time, here's what my proclamation would be. Stop with the excuses, Gideon. Because I'm the Lord. And I'm saying that I'm going to grant the victory. And I have to tell you, we as a people, we need to wrestle with that very thought. Because God's saying he wants to do mighty, mighty works in and through each and every one of us. And we might not come out and say it, but maybe by the way we react, we just might say to the Lord, But the Lord says, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat, in this case, the Midianites. But what is it that we need to have defeated in our lives? I heard self, I heard sin. There's a lot of things that the Lord can defeat in our lives. Not just the life of Gideon. As we go into Judges chapter 7, we would all know this of Gideon having questions and doubts. And then we all have probably done this at some point in time. Has anybody asked you the question, well, have you put out a fleece? I think most of us probably have put out a fleece at some point in time. Well, of course, it's Gideon's story that we would get that from. Because he puts out the fleece and so on. But his trust in God was not rock solid yet. Now for him, his trust in himself wasn't rock solid either. Let me read this to you. This is from Steps to Christ, page 87. God speaks to us through his providential workings and through the influence of his Spirit upon the heart. In our circumstances and surroundings, in the changes daily taking place around us, we may find precious lessons if our hearts are but open to discern them. So I will have to say that every single one of us can add to our prayer life this prayer: Lord, may my heart be open to what it is you're trying to reveal to me and in me. And it says, if our hearts are open, we can discern the influence of the Holy Spirit working upon our hearts. And we, along with Gideon, really struggle with understanding the depth to which God wants to work in each one of our hearts. So I have to tell you, I have had, at various times in my personal life, professional life, big questions. And I've just said, Lord, I have no idea. Why this? What about this? What about that? And I haven't really had one of those drastic situations like Gideon was able to experience. I mean, could you imagine? Here you are doing what you're supposed to do. Most of us aren't probably going to thresh wheat anymore. But imagine an angel that comes and says, I want to do a work in you. And the Lord is saying he's calling. And the Lord says he's going to accomplish it. I haven't had that drastic of a situation. Has anybody else had that drastic of a situation? No? All right. And so, most of you here, not all of you, know the circumstances in and around of me becoming the pastor here. So I had two churches, Turning Point in Roseburg and Glide. And then, of course, the Oregon Conference went through some issues, shall we say. And then there were three. But while all of that stuff was going on, I was just saying, Lord, what is going to happen to me? Because we were also told, and you all know this if you've been watching the Oregon Conference, there were 27 of my colleagues that were told, you either need to retire. Oh, that would be Pastor Gary Evans. He wasn't going to retire quite that early, but because of all that, he retired earlier than he wanted to, and there was some others. I won't go into all those details. But during that, I was saying, well, I have a license still to practice physical therapy. Are they going to do that to me? And all this stuff's going through my head. And as I got to sort of a, for lack of a better term, fevered pitch to my questioning, I was able to read this. And I was like, okay, Lord, all right. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I get it. For now. And it's a quote from Charles Spurgeon. And it says, wherever Jesus may lead us, he goes before us. If we don't know where we are going, we know at least with whom we go. And so there are times to where we don't know what the roadmap is, but what we do know is every step of the way, we are promised that the Lord walks with us. And it just at just the absolute right time, at the absolute right time for me, I was able to read this, and I'm like, okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, because I was wrestling with all of this. And there may be times to where our wrestling is maybe fairly lengthy, but at some point in time, I believe this, that God is going to bring about clarity about what we are to learn from walking through whatever situation we're walking through. How long that takes, I can't actually stand up here and prescribe that. But God is faithful. I default to that. But Gideon is struggling with doubt. And some of us do too. I do too. So the Lord says, do you need assurance that I'm going to grant the victory? Yes, I do. Yes, I need that, Lord. He said, well, I tell you what. Grab somebody and go down straight into the camp of the Midianites, and I'm going to give you assurance. And of course, how about I don't have to go straight into the camp of the enemy right now? And the Lord says, no, if you want assurance, do what I said. Go to the camp of the enemy and just listen. Just listen. And you're going to hear some assurance. And it's Judges 7, starting with verse 13. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, and into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And you think to yourself, what does a loaf of barley bread have to do with Gideon? But somehow, someway, the Spirit was even moving on the minds of two Midianites, one by way of dream, one by way of interpretation of the dream, and he says, that's Gideon. He's going to destroy this whole place. And the Lord spoke to Gideon by way of two Midianites who had nothing to do with the God of heaven. God speaks in ways sometimes that we don't always think that he would speak. He spoke to Gideon through two Midianites, and Gideon got the message. Were his doubts completely gone yet? No. But did he have the assurance based on, because he did what God said, he was granted the assurance of victory because he did what God said up to that point. And who was it that was supposed to have the victory, by the way? Was it Gideon or was it the Lord? It was the Lord who was supposed to have the victory. So how would you choose your army? Not that way. How would you choose your army? Okay, those of you that are fearful, go ahead and go home. Well, that would be me. I'm out of here. But there's still too many. And then he has them go by, and by the way they drink the water, we're going to keep those. The rest, you just send them home. And there were 300 that did it that way. And there's a message here. God doesn't always do stuff that we think is logical. In fact, I would say that oftentimes God's kingdom is completely backwards compared to my kingdom. And sometimes I really think my kingdom is okay. And guess what? It's not. So he says, with those 300, we're going to defeat the entirety of the camp of the Midianites. And at this point in time, Gideon's going, praise God, I am assured of the victory with 300. Is he saying that at this point in time? I don't think so. 300. But then it goes on. Let's see here. The way we're going to go about this, you're going to take torches, which would be pitchers with the light in them, and you're going to have those to where they're not really going to show very much light. Oh, and in some of you are going to have trumpets. And they're like, how about spears and swords and maybe some bows, arrows? Just, you know, all that sort of stuff. And the Lord says, that's how we're going to do it. And you know, us human beings, I is it wrong for us to go, that makes no sense? Not necessarily. But at the same time, the Lord says, what doesn't make sense to you makes absolute perfect sense to me. And that takes us to our scripture reading for today, which is Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. And I have to just pause there for just a second, because if our thought life was somehow, we say, my thoughts are exactly God's thoughts, God would not be the good being that I see him as. Because once in a while, our thoughts can trouble us. Unless I'm the only one who, once in a while, my thoughts can trouble me. But God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, praise the Lord. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is so drastically different than us. I've had some people, they want a picture of God that's painted in a way that makes God make perfect sense to them. If God is small enough for our little pea brains to completely wrap our minds around him, he's very small. I have to tell you, because of all the stuff I can't comprehend about him, praise God for that. He's such a big God. There is no way I could wrap my mind around him. As an example, let's see here. The only way for humankind to be saved is for one of us to become flesh. To be born as a baby, live a life as a human being, destined for crucifixion. It makes no sense whatsoever. I believe that's why Satan couldn't figure it out. His mind couldn't wrap around it either. But that's exactly what God did for the sake of our salvation. Does it make sense? No. Can we grab a hold of it and say, praise the Lord, it doesn't make sense, but I'm taking it. Amen. And all along, he says, with loving kindness and with patience, I'm going to work within the confines of our limited capacity to comprehend and gain a knowledge of him. He is a patient, long-suffering, loving teacher. And I have to tell you, I in my life have at times realized how slow I was to comprehend. And as I was that slow to comprehend, I was getting an education every step of the way, faithfully from God. Isn't that good news? So how is it that God can be seen and known by us? We might not get that revealed from an angel dispatched straight to us. Daniel got that. Gideon got that. But I have never. But how can we see and know him? How can we have an experience with him still? Listen to this. The Holy Spirit exalts and glorifies the Savior. So the one thing that we need to make certain of is, Lord, I want to have my mind open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The greatest need in the church is for us to have ears that can hear the Spirit himself. It is his office to present Christ, the purity of his righteousness, and the great salvation that we have through him. Jesus says, he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And God says, I want to show it to all of us. That's from John 16, verse 14. The Spirit of truth is the only effectual teacher of divine truth. So if we don't recognize the voice of the Spirit, we fall short in terms of the full teachings of divine truth. How must God esteem the human race? Since he gave his Son to die for them and appoints his Spirit to be man's teacher and his continual guide. How is it that we come to a saving knowledge of God? Only through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And where's the Holy Spirit going to lead us to? The Word. And of course, we know, especially this time of year, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it's this book that points us to Him. It's the Holy Spirit that points us to Him. So we can know this, and I will just be open and honest. There have been times in my life to where I have had a very roller coaster ride of connection with the Word. And when I have had my struggles in my life, it's because this hasn't been the dominant narrative. And when I'm easily distracted, this doesn't become the dominant narrative. But when it does, good things happen. Because God then has free rein to move in each one of our lives. How do we get the Holy Spirit? John 11, verse 13 says this. It tells us that God will give the gift of the Spirit if we ask. So I have a question. How often do each one of us ask for the Holy Spirit? How often do we ask that question? It's a rhetorical question, by the way. But something that we need to process here and ultimately here. How often do we ask for the Holy Spirit? And Acts tells us that unless we have the Holy Spirit, we're going to lack almost all power within the confines of our work. By the way, this is not finger pointing. I'm just going to just go ahead and say that as a disclaimer before I say this. I heard somebody say this week, and that was this. We need to ask ourselves a question. If the Holy Spirit were removed from this place, how much of our work would cease? How much of it would just continue on as if nothing happened? Because if, in fact, what we do is not Holy Spirit-centered and driven, and the Holy Spirit were removed, we could continue on with the appearance of the work. And we could end up being devoid of the Spirit. We need to make certain that if the Spirit were removed, we would be frozen, because the Spirit is what gave us the spiritual temperature. And when I heard that, I was just like, Lord God, help us to know the voice of the Spirit, and have the Spirit having a ministry in this place that makes us have a deeper and deeper and deeper transforming knowledge of God Himself. We can also look to creation and say, wow, I don't believe that any of this happened by chance. So this is from Steps of Christ, page 85. God would have His children appreciate His works and delight in the simple, quiet beauty with which He has adorned our earthly home. He is a lover of the beautiful, and above all that is outwardly attractive, He loves beauty of character. You have this memorized. He would have us cultivate purity and simplicity, the quiet graces of the flowers. God is a lover of the beautiful. So I'm here to say something. If God loves us, then how does He look at us? Every single one of us are beautiful. In His eyes, every single one of us was worthy of the life of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, every single one of us, because God is a lover of the beautiful. And we can see God through his word. We've already established that. But specifically, especially this time of year, but it should be 12 months out of the year, but especially this time of year, the word. And Jesus said this of himself, John 5, verse 39, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Do we want to see Jesus? We've got to be in the scriptures then. He just said it. These are they which testify of me. Do we want to see his testimony? Here's his testimony. This is it. I heard Dr. Mark say New Year's resolution. And of course, we're all horrible at keeping New Year's resolutions. Maybe what, a week? 2 weeks? I know some people that play pickleball. Got to play more pickleball, right? New Year's resolutions. But we need to resolve to 12 months out of the year, seek the Word, be in the Word. Psalm 34, verse 4 says this, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth." And all of our work needs to be done in truth, in spirit and in truth. So do we want truth? I'll ask that again. Do we want truth? Then we have to be in the Word. And then when we look to the gift of Jesus, we see that there's a promise and assurance of eternity with him. If we were to inherit eternity, and we were to inherit the New Jerusalem, and Jesus wasn't there, the Father wasn't there, it would just be a really neat place to live, where I say, wow, I get to walk on streets of gold. But if God isn't there, it's not heaven. That's the key. God needs to be there. So, one last quote from Steps to Christ. Let your imagination, you have vivid imaginations? My imagination sometimes goes way too far with it. Way too far with it. But let your imagination picture the home of the saved. Just take some time over the next week or so, leading up to Christmas, and think about, Jesus came here to promise something to the saved that's so much better than this place. Let your imagination picture the home of the saved, and remember that it will be more glorious than your brightest imagination can portray. Go as wild with your imagination as possible, and it doesn't even scratch the surface of what it is that he's assured each one of us. And he says, I've gone to prepare that place. We can't even scratch the surface, and some of us have some wild imaginations. In the varied gifts of God in nature, we see but the faintest gleaming of his glory. We get the privilege of really living in a very pretty area. We really do. The waterfalls out past Glide and all of that. I think it's a privilege to live where we do. I've been to a couple places that I think are just some of the most beautiful places that I personally have been to. Some of you guys maybe have been to other places. Three places. One, Yosemite National Park. Yosemite to me is one of the most beautiful places that I personally have been to. Number two, Glacier National Park. Unbelievable, stunning place. And there were places in New Zealand that I got to see that was just like, wow. And we're told take all of those, mash them all together, magnify all of those, and it's nothing compared to what it is God has promised us. It's nothing. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. We've never seen it, we've never heard it. We can imagine it, and that's as far as we could go. It's going to be unbelievable. So we might not necessarily be called into battle like Gideon was. But what I will say is that God wants each one of us to have the title Mighty Men and Women of Valor for him. So even though we might not have that same call, I believe with my whole heart he wants us to have the exact same title. And we are being called to call upon God to do the mighty work that he really wants to do. We as a people have not experienced the fullness of what it is that God really desires to do in and among his people. We haven't experienced the fullness of that yet. Because we need to brace ourselves, because there's a work that's coming that is going to absolutely, positively shatter anything we could have ever imagined. But do we want the Holy Spirit to do that work in each of us as individuals? We need to seek the Holy Spirit. It is our absolute greatest need as a people. I'd like to challenge each one of us to every single day, and if you have to, multiple times a day, Lord, I need your Spirit. I'll declare before you, I need to do that more often than I do. And I do it regularly. Without him, we can do nothing. And we need to seek our loving Creator God in his word for a transforming experience. And ultimately, all of that is to prepare us and others to be able to go to that place that he's prepared to live with us for all of eternity. I want to challenge each one of us to seek that place.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you,
especially during this Christmas season. The wonder of it all is you loved us to the point to where you became one of us. Lord, you're not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to not just gain data knowledge of you, but a transforming, life-changing knowledge of you. And Lord, please help us to be not just looking forward to, but hastening the time of your appearing. Thank you, Father. And Lord, please send us the Holy Spirit, because we need the Holy Spirit moving in our midst in a way that we never have before. Because, Lord, we need to be woken up as a people, every single one of us. Energize us, transform us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.